Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
She keeps lighting up the way, even on the darkest day. Dawn is breaking, all awaken from the night. From the shore into the waves, washing all the bitterness away, lifting darkness with your stillness and your grace. It's you I like, and you mean everything to me. It's you I like, 'cause you are light, and I see everything I need. It's alright, yeah. Shine bright, light up the skies above. Shine bright, do it with the ones you love. Shine bright, and never, ever, ever let it die. Shine bright, light up the stars above. Shine bright, and do it in the name of love. Shine bright, and I promise to never let it die. And if they ever make me choose, you know exactly what I'm gonna do. Question, second guessing, it's you I choose. Yeah, yeah, 'cause you are light, and I see everything I need. Yes, you are light. Yeah, yeah.
Nation, welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalamJonah.com, SalamJonah.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, let me say it to you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful platform for truth anywhere, bar none, on the face of planet Earth. This is your platform for black education, black liberation, and black edification. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled The Economic House of Cards, Part 5. The wheels are coming off. But before we go into that, let me wish a longtime listener of the show, Brother Charles Clark of Tampa, Florida, happy birthday, and may Allah bless you with 70-plus more years. And thank you for being a listener to the show. I think you've been a listener to the show, if not from day one, the first year of the show up until now. I really thank you, and I really appreciate it. And I hope you got your birthday gift and you enjoyed it that I sent to you. May Allah continue to bless you. Now, let's go into the show. The Economic House of Cards, Part 5. The wheels are coming off. For us to understand economically what is going on, I want to bring some points home to you of what is going on in the backdrop of the economic house of cards collapsing. I want to bring some and fill you in with a backdrop of what these little spigots of news that you keep hearing and that you keep seeing on all of these so-called alternative media platforms. I want you to understand and connect the dots, because there's a lot going on today that most of you have no clue behind the geopolitical scenes of what's going on. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this probably on almost every show, that the American empire, the Western world order, is desperate as hell. They see that we are in the last days of white domination. As a matter of fact, it is all breaking down before us. But let me show you something. I want to talk to you for a few minutes, because I've been getting emails, and I've been really, really busy. So I haven't been able to return a lot of calls, and I haven't been able to return the hundreds of emails. I've been getting hundreds of emails a day, but I've been doing my best to try to do at least 200 emails a day. And I'm going to try to get to some of your questions on the show, okay? And we'll tie it into the economic part. Some of you may not want to hear this, but I'm addressing a larger audience, so you've got to be patient with your brother as we lay down the basis and we connect the dots, okay? So a few days ago, there was a report that the Russian FSB general, which is the equivalent to the CIA or the FBI, he died mysteriously from some so-called, as they put it in the media, some long-term illnesses. It's amazing, because the illness if it was long term, it was never even discussed. But let me tell you what went on behind. He was a victim of Western intransigence. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to put it out there, and I have sources who confirmed this and validated this. And these sources are white people that have dealt with the highest echelons of government. And behind it, there's a great geopolitical game going on. I have to tell you this. I wasn't going to start the show, but I have to tell you some of these things. In retaliation, the former CIA director of the U.S., not even 2 days later, was rushed to the hospital for a mysterious heart attack or something of this sort. What is going on behind the scenes, brothers and sisters, is that the tensions that was in the background, the backdrop, because America and the West sees that they're losing out technologically because China and Russia has caught up and in some instances have surpassed them in technology, okay? They're desperate because they know that their empire, their power, their political influence, and their entire global order is based upon debt expansion. And with Russia and China being a spearhead of removing the debt-based system, which is the dollar-dominated system, okay, they are now becoming more and more desperate, and they're doing things that only desperate powers would do because this could lead to a military, major military conflagration, okay? So it was no – and these things are not just happening. Remember, at the same time as this going on, there was explosions in Russia that took place in store warehouses, gas pipelines. These things have been blown up. If you look in China, China just experienced something a few days ago, and all of this is in the face of tension with the West. And have you noticed in the West there have been a lot of train derailments and a lot of gas explosions? These things are directly tied with the covert war that is going on globally. Everybody is angling and positioning because they know that soon the debt bubble will burst. There are multiple black swans that are coming over the near horizon, and it has the Western world in desperation and panic mode, and they are frantically trying to position themselves to transition and be the masters of what's coming in. Even though they won't do it to no, it'll be to no avail. I want you to understand what's going on. So, right after this took place, Russia, along with a lot of Eurasian economic bloc led by Russia, announced that they will no longer use the dollar in their transactions. This is major, because these are former Soviet republics and also other nations that are not permanent members but are what they call observers are now using ruble and yuan. I want you to understand what's going on. So with this going on and America losing in Syria, she has started to push Russia through Ukraine. Remember what I told you on one of these shows? I said there will be an escalation with America as she escalates the wars when she realizes that she's losing. She's going to escalate everything in the Middle East, in Asia, and in Europe. And she will go from one spot to the next spot. And one of these will blow up, then the next one blow up. And she will not get any peace, black man and black woman. I want you to understand this. And so she's pushing it. She thinks that if she put more pressure on Russia and the Balkans, this will cut off Russia's hand in the Middle East. And this will also push back China in the South China Sea. Remember that America and Great Britain and the European countries are never the aggressors in their own eyesight. They're always defending and protecting freedom, according to their own eyes, right? Thousands of miles away from their home. These things are not happening by accident. When Russia inked this deal and they finished with the Turk Stream pipeline, and they're getting ready to set up another gas pipeline to Germany, and they're going to connect the Turk Stream to Serbia and Bulgaria and these other, this is going under the Black Sea, right? Now America and Great Britain are trying to use this justification to deploy warships which are illegal in the Black Sea. You understand? Because this puts a halt to America trying to dominate the gas politics. And she's trying her best to dominate this because she needs something to keep the dollar afloat. I hope you understand. Remember, some of you have short memories, but if you pay attention to the news, leading up to this aggression in the Kerch Strait and all of this stuff in the Sea of Azov, in the Caucasus, in the Balkan areas, Great Britain, out the blue, saying, but Russia should open up the Sea of Azov for trading for such and such. This sea and these straits are right on Russia's territorial waters. Why do they need that? Because if they get that area, Russia would be completely surrounded by U.S. and NATO missiles, warships, troops, warplanes, and bases. And they would have a massive advantage with a military first strike. Do you understand what's going on? And at the same time this is going on, she's losing out in Syria. She's losing out in the gas politics. So this puts a strain on the budget because America continues to push her military forward, even with empty coffers. And she's pushing her military in Asia. So all of a sudden, after we warn China of this and we warn China and we're going to put 60% or 70% of our weapons there, all of a sudden China has experienced more factory explosions. This is what they call industrial sabotage, industrial espionage. What they're doing, they're gathering intelligence. And what you didn't know, that China arrested dozens of U.S. spies in China about a week ago, prior to this explosion that took place in China. Did you know that? I know you didn't know that. So I'm giving you these things so that you can understand the backdrop to what is actually taking place economically. And Trump is desperate. He's losing out in every position, every place. But let's go to Fall of America, I think page 170, because we're going to explain this, and then we're going to go into a quick clip. Remember, but let me say this, and let me say this good, and I'm sorry if Blog Talk Radio is dropping calls. I'm sorry. I cannot do anything about that. What I'm going to try to do is maintain the show. If I get disconnected, muted, or cut off, you stay on the air for at least 5 minutes. Send me text messages and all that to make me know that they muted me or they cut me off or whatever. Please do that. If something happens to me, I know they're dropping you off the air. But call back in. Log back on. This is what they do every show. If they mute me or cut me off, please have patience with your brother and stay on the air for at least 5 minutes and let me know that I've been muted or cut off, because this is very important that you get this information. So, remember what's going on over there. Tensions are flaring in the Black Sea. I'm saying this for a reason, because I'm going to point you back to something that I said a while ago. Remember I told you that it's going to heat up in Europe, and a lot of people think that war is imminent. But I told you that these wars, these conflagrations will take place in a chronological order that was prophesied. But they will all be heated and flaring here and there. You see what I'm saying? And there will be confrontation here and there. But when they explode, there's a time order for that. And I told you that when this thing jump off, it will be over the former Soviet republics. One of the main things over the former Soviet republics. In the Baltics, in the Balkans, and in the Caucasus. And where's all of the flaring up going on? I'm just asking you. Huh? Where's all the flaring up going on? And I've said these things since the show started, nearly a decade ago. On the air, you don't hear any so-called minister or substantial so-called representative teaching you these things, because this is something that they themselves don't know or understand. And if they did know and didn't teach you these things, then they will be held responsible, because the weight of these words are real heavy, brother, because it's just because it can save your life and your ignorance. Let's go to page 170. I think it is. Let's get 170. Bear with me, brothers and sisters. We do this stuff on the spot. So, this is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says to us. The chapter is called The Destruction and Fall, and I did this for a specific reason. And I'm going to be coming back and forth to this chapter here, God willingly, because it talks about Asia. It talks about the Middle East. It talks about America losing her power. It talks about the white world going out or falling and a new world coming in. And you have to understand these things to know and understand and see what is going on geopolitically, economically, and politically. For without that understanding, again, you will put you and your loved ones in harm's way. So, listen to this. The destruction and fall of the world that we have known is now, without a doubt, in process. Did you understand what he just said? He says, the destruction and fall of the world that we have known is now, without a doubt, in process. So, what world have you known? You've never known the black world. You've only got bits and pieces of it. Right? So, let's be honest. Let's call the ace to ace and a spade, okay? This is the white man's world. He has dominated this world. He dominates the global landscape militarily, politically, economically, industrially, scientifically, right? And culturally, even though he's stolen the components to do that. But we must be realistic about what's taking place. This is his world. And if to prove to you what America does, she always trumpets the UN. Is that not right? And the people that she doesn't like or doesn't agree with her or won't bow to her or refuses to come into her order or her system, what she does, she says they're in violation of UN resolution. But she never points to Israel being in violation of almost every UN resolution that was pointed to Palestine. She never talks about America and the Western world in their war crimes. Right? And nobody holds her foot to the fire. Why? Because they have been in a dominant position and have enjoyed the fruits of white privilege for these past few thousand years. But Muhammad gives us an emphasis on something. He says, the destruction. So there's a destruction going on. And the fall of the world that we have known is now without a doubt in process. So we're looking at destruction. What is being destroyed? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, for Allah, he goes after their trade. To destroy the power of the white man, the white world. He goes after their trade. He destroys their trade. For without trade, their currency is worthless. Their economies are in shambles. And their manufacturing capability is destroyed. Therefore, they cannot fund a military excursion globally. Is that not right? I'm just asking. Because if your trade is covered, let's look at what's going on these things. You have other nations sidelining the dollar. America continues to run deficits, right? She continues to spend in deficit spending, projecting debt on future generations that she knows she'll never pay back, because it is an impossibility to pay back the debt. As Jim Rogers says, not only is America the greatest debtor in the history of the world, she's the greatest debtor if you put all of the nation's debt together. America's debt supersedes all of the nation's debt in the history of the world. Is that something? How the hell are you going to get out of that? War ain't the answer. Let's go a little further. So we see a destruction. We see a fall. The destruction of her ability to dominate the political aspect, because without the money, she can't bribe. When Allah exposes these people, the people become skeptical and suspicious of every move that Britain takes, every move that France takes, Belgium takes, that Germany takes, that America takes, right? Is that not right? And so she really has no true friends. So she's exposed politically. So there are a lot of backdoor alliances to uproot and dismantle the dollar system. Are we not watching that? If you read the Hines 1555 blog, we have that every day on there about how other nations are joining to do cross-border trade outside of the dollar. All these other nations are joining to do transactions outside of the SWIFT or the dollar-dominated system. this should show you something, that we're in the change of worlds. Muhammad says, so the destruction and the fall of the world that we have known is now without a doubt. So there's no more doubts to this, because we can point to the clues. We can point to the signs. We can put our hands on it. We can feel it. We can taste it. We can smell it. We can see it. We can hear it. It's in process. That means it's ongoing right now. It's ongoing right now. It's not to come. It is in motion. So further he says, and he clarifies what he's talking about. Listen to this good. I'm going to read that sentence over, then I'm going to read the clarification of what he's saying, because he wants to make things crystal clear. The destruction and fall of the world that we have known is now without a doubt in process. When we refer to the world, we are referring to the world of the white man, for the world of the black man has yet to come in. So now, let us see if Elijah Muhammad's words hold fruit. They call the Western world the first world nations. They call the Western world, right, the civilized nations. They call the Western world the wealthy nations. Now, the powerful nations, the politically connected nations, the military dominant nations, all right? Is that true? Is this true? Okay? What's happening to the economies of America in the Western world? Talk to me. What's happening to the currencies of America in the Western world? What's happening to the trade of America in the Western world? What happens to the political influence that America and the Western world once had over the entire globe? So we're seeing all of the levels of power being cracked and broken. So we can say with the surety that Elijah Muhammad is telling us the truth, when we refer to the world, we are referring to the world of the white man, for the world of the black man has yet to come in. The world of the black man, now listen to this good, because this has everything to do with why they're killing you out on the streets. This has everything to do why the debt is overcoming them. And see, they're getting mad. This has everything to do with them being broken politically and economically, and now even emotionally, because they're so unstable that every time you turn around, there's a shooting, there's a killing, there's a school killing, there's a stabbing, there's a robbing, there's a raping. Muhammad says, the world of the black man, by divine guidance, is now merging in on the old world of the white race. This makes the destruction and fall of the world of the white man imminent. Here in America, see, we ain't got to go nowhere else if push comes to shove. I'm telling you this. Here in America, we don't have to look in Europe, but we want you to understand, because Europe is a reflection of America. We don't have to look in Australia, but Australia's collapse is a reflection of America. We don't have to look in Canada, but the Canadian collapse is a reflection of America. We don't have to look in Belgium, but the Belgium and the European collapse is a reflection of America and the Western world. Muhammad says, here in America, we can see nothing but the fall of America. Right? It is no secret. It is obvious to the eyes that are open. If we want to close our eyes and minds and claim that we do not see and understand, then we will be falling ourselves. So how do we know? We see the economic collapse. We see the political collapse. We see the threat of revolution. We see the threat of civil war. We see the rise up of the dry bones. They're rattling everywhere. Right? These are signs of the destruction and the fall of America, which means the destruction and the fall of the greatest and the most powerful pillar of white domination. For if the weight-bearing pillar of the house is unsound and unstable, the house itself is condemned and could collapse at any moment. Is that not right? Let's go further. Y'all bear with your brother. I missed y'all. I missed y'all. So I want to talk to you. And so y'all walk this spiritual walk with your brother. I love you. You love me back. All praise is due to Allah. So listen. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, this refusal to see is foolhardy. What he's talking about? Because some of us, we're so preoccupied with court TV, with basketball, with baseball, with sport and play, that we're refusing to see that an economic disaster lies right at your front door. That we're refusing to see that the things that you used to do, you will no longer be able to do. The thoughts that you used to have will get you in trouble in the days that's following. And the time that you used to enjoy frivolously can cost you your life today. Muhammad says, This refusal to see is foolhardy. For regardless of how we may desire to see the old world stand, we do not have the power to stave off the destruction that causes the world of the white man to fall. The destruction in power that is bringing about the fall of the world of the white man, it ain't coming from China. It ain't coming from Russia, Iran, Venezuela, Pakistan, none of that. Muhammad says, the destruction in power that is bringing about the fall of the world of the white man is coming from Allah. In the past history, listen to this good, because this shows you the time that we're in. He's doing a historical comparative analysis here so that you can come to a sound conclusion. He says, in the past history of the world, of the white man, there never was a time of destruction of his world like the present time. What do they say? No nation has accumulated this much debt. No nations have accumulated this much debt. No system has ever been maintained that has been predicated on the expansion of debt and the robbery of people. Right? And now they're saying the housing crisis, right? They're telling you that there's a crisis on top of 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 a crisis, and they won't be able to kick the can down the road. Aren't they saying these things? Muhammad says, in the past history of the world, of the white man, there never was a time of the destruction of his world like the present time. So if we see that, and we see the mountain debt, and we see the threat of thermonuclear conflagration, and we see the people rising up and yelling for freedom, justice, and equality, we know that the time that Elijah Muhammad is talking about, the time that the prophets had predicted, the time that the scriptures had pointed to, is right now. It's common sense. So he says, how does this have to do with the economic? I'm laying the base for you so that you can understand what's taking place, what's going on. He says, it is useless for you to try to prevent the fall of the white man's world. There is no checking it. So you can reinflate the bubbles. You can try to kick the can down the road. You can put on a smiley face and go public and say, this is no recession or depression. The economy is rebounding and booming. But the fact is that we're in a time of the fall of America, the fall of the entire white man's world order. Muhammad says, it is useless for you to try to prevent the fall of the white man's world, for there is no checking it. The white race has not tried to do the right thing. What is that right thing? Justice. Let's see if they try to do the right thing. They killed his brother in Alabama, right? He stopped a crime from taking place. They come in, kill him. Then when they realized people had got it on camera, they tried to fend England and say, oh, wait, we made a mistake. Then a few days later, they come out and say, he's responsible for his own death. See that white man, he's unrepentant of the way he's doing you. Why? You can have it on camera, you can have it on audio recording, whatever. He's unrepentant because he's mad, because he's losing everything. That's why all the devils are coming out now, because they feel that they have a president that is openly racist against you, right? Not covertly anymore, but overtly. And so you see all of these incidents from restaurants to people managing these stores and stuff and saying things about black, brown, red, and yellow people, because this is the time for that. Because they see that everything is falling. And in this time, you would think that they would do what would be necessary for Babylon to be healed. But remember, Babylon could have been healed. But she was not. She was too arrogant for that. Is that not the sign of America? Talk back to your brother. So Allah hits America where it hurts the worst. And so she's trying to wage again. Think about this. I call it crackhead politics. Say, for instance, you get a loan from a bank, and you continue to get loans from the bank, and the bank continues to fund your living habit and your living expenses and your family and your expenditures and your excursions around the world, and continue to give you clothes, to give you everything in your house, pretty much. And then one day you get mad because they're not giving you everything you want anymore, and you start, I'm a sanction them. Well, isn't that crackhead politics? Because they own everything. And you living on borrowed money, borrowed time. You living really in a house that's not really yours. This is America. This is a policy towards China. The largest creditor nation in the world, she has a crackhead politics scheme to try to force China to her knees. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that in this war, and this war takes many fronts, it is a multi-pronged, multi-front war. It is economically, politically, geopolitically. And America is trying to skew the perception of people. Because even though perception and reality may not be the same thing, they want your perception to believe to be that America is unbeatable, America is rich, America is still powerful, even though she's losing on every front. You see? I want you to listen to what they're saying about this economic war with China. You'll see that she's losing. You'll see that she's in trouble. And she's trying to hide the depths of her troubles, the depths of her setbacks, right? But listen, I want you to pay close attention. This is only 3 minutes and 26 seconds.
Let's go now to Professor Richard Wolff. He's the co-founder of Democracy at Work. Yesterday, Mr. Trump said he probably would not even be meeting with Vladimir Putin because he says, quote, he does not like aggression. Do you expect the two will meet, and what do you expect to come out of it?
I think they might meet as part of a PR kind of stunt. But Mr. Trump, as you rightly point out, has to somehow recoup the fact that he's lost a major election. Around the world, every politician noticed that the Democrats took over the House of Representatives, that will weaken everything Mr. Trump is trying to do one way or another. And they are going to be looking to see whether he can recoup his political muscle, in a sense, his first 2 years kind of situation. And the second thing they'll be interested in is really not so much Mr. Putin and Mr. Trump, but Mr. Xi Jinping and Mr. Yeah. Trump, because the whole world is hanging on whether this tariff war that is hurting so many countries and so many industries. Think about the laying off of 15,000 GM workers a couple of days ago and the troubles in the farm belt. They're wondering, are they going to end this crazy war done to make Mr. Trump look like a tough guy? Or is it going to go on and then they're all going to have to adjust politically and economically?
Yeah.
That's the big question.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, Richard, because there's an article in the New York Times that just broke, I think, a couple of hours ago. I'm sure you read it, that seems to be suggesting that Mr. Trump may be knuckling under to Chinese pressure and that he's now thinking about softening some of these tariff pressures that he's been thinking about putting in the past. What do you make of that?
I think the New York Times is very much onto something this time. Look, Mr. Trump thought, apparently, poorly advised, that he could do all of these economic steps, these tariffs, threatening more, doing more. This is a disruption of a world economy that has become international. I'm not defending internationalism, but that's the way the economy mm-hmm. works. If you come in with a sledgehammer and interrupt that by slapping tariffs and taxes here, and put aside how interesting it is that Republicans who don't want the government to intervene are intervening like nobody's business, but if you do that, it turns out it hurts workers in the Midwest, many of whom voted for Mr. Trump. It hurts farmers around the world who can't sell to China, a major buyer. They were supporters here in the U.S. of Mr. Trump. He's discovering that there's blowback that's hurting him politically. And so with all the bluster, we may in fact be seeing a bluff or a blunder, as you put it, as he now has to come to terms with the Chinese, who are showing yet again that they're bigger and stronger than we gave them credit for.
Richard Wolff, few people can tell it so well, that which many people find difficult to understand. We thank you, sir, for your time and for your wisdom. Thanks again.
So knowing
hey,
that
YouTube,
you just,
thanks for checking out our channel. We hope you enjoyed
you
the video.
Heard?
We have tons of content for you just like this. For more of RT America's one-of-a-kind news and analysis,
America,
be sure to subscribe and never stop questioning more.
Politics. Huh? Listen to that. That America's losing on every, and trying to, behind closed doors, begging Xi Jinping. Now, Trump, we'll sanction the Chinese even more. They have more to lose. We will not bend, we will not buckle, we will not blink. Then I'm going to bring jobs back to America. And then behind closed doors, Mr. Z, please, sir. Please, I'm just doing this as an act, sir. Sir, please give me a little bit more time to live. Give me a little bit, buy a little bit more of my debt. Please, talk your Asian friends into buying a little bit more of my debt. I'll just do a little bit of provocations, but I'll let you know before I provoke you, okay? Madness. This is the thinking of America. And all of this comes back So she's going to have to pay higher prices on stuff because of her mad, outlandish politics. I'm serious.
You're now number three on our list, and we call it the Chinese Challenge. And really, there's a question that I'm going to ask you as I walk over to the other side of our studio is, how are the Chinese going to be reacting, right, to the Trump administration's tariffs? A lot of folks in the economic sphere want to know this. And we're already starting to see some activity on this front. So we decided to tackle this. Who better to do this, to own this for us, than our own Sarah Montes de Oca? So, Sarah, what is thus far the reaction from the Chinese when it comes to the either imposed or expected or threatened tariffs?
Well, Rick, we already know that the United States and China have both issued hundreds of millions of dollars in tariffs to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S., or China exactly, actually, they've exported over an increase of 15.6%. We've seen this increase in just the month of October. Now, we've also...
And when you say exporting, that means that they're pushing out more products.
They're pushing out more products,
right,
especially to other trade partners like Hong Kong, Brazil, and India. Their exports have already gone up more than 20% compared to last year. If you look at the map here,
mm-hmm,
more than 20% to Brazil, India, and Hong Kong. And they're, after Xi Jinping's speech just a few days ago, he said their country's opening, so they're looking to further diversify and expand to more nations.
Well, you know, a lot of people would call that flooding the market, which then has an economic backlash as well for other countries, including the U.S. But let me ask you about something else. A lot of people are wondering whether just to show or to muster bluster, the Chinese may not start proliferating more when it comes to some of their military hardware. What can you share on that?
Well, we're also seeing a military component to this trade war. Let me give you an example. So as we see China's biggest annual show come to its final days, China showed their military display. China is showing their air and space ambitions. And
this is what we're looking at here?
Yes, this is exactly what we're looking at. So they're actually, let me compare their new J-20 stealth jet to the American US F-22.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at the lengths and the wingspans, they're pretty much similar to each other right here. 19 meters, 20.3 meters. China J-20 stealth, and this is the F-22 Raptor.
Yeah.
And when it comes to, there are some slight differences, though. A price tag, for example, very different. So we see the J-20 costing $110 million, and the F-22 Raptor, a whopping $339 million.
That's interesting.
That is a huge difference.
Yeah, like
obviously.
Three times.
And the capabilities of the U.S., obviously, Army is still very strong, stronger than China's, but China's trying to show we're almost just as strong. And let me not forget to mention the F-35
mm-hmm,
U.S. jet that actually has the whole project cost more than $1.5 trillion, and it's faced so many challenges. But again, it hasn't stopped China from showing and flexing its muscles, especially during this new trade.
So there's no question that they're saying, okay, you're going to mess with us, we're going to mess back, we're going to flood the market with more product, with more goods, and we're going to show you that we can keep up with you militarily. The thing that has a lot of people wondering what the effect of this might be is a lot of people like myself, and I'm sure yourself, people who live in America are wondering, well, how is this going to affect my pocketbook? Am I going to have to pay more for certain goods because of not only the tariffs, but the reactions to the tariffs?
Well, we're going to start seeing some increases in pricing, and a lot of American goods, for example, like furniture, vacuums, electrical appliances, computers,
mm-hmm,
things that we are very much reliant on China for, and we are going to see an increase and a hike in price. And the U.S. is really going to have to find ways, like Beijing, to compensate for those losses of goods.
Let's go through those one more time. Vacuum cleaners, furniture,
chairs, tables, couches,
produce,
agricultural, fruits, desktops, laptops, computers, computer parts.
So the prices on those things are going to jack up.
They are definitely going to hurt our pocket a little bit. So.
And that's as a result because China's trying to say essentially to the Trump administration's, you're going to do that to us, we're going to do it back to you.
Right, and the U.S. relies heavily on these exports, or imports, rather, from China. So we're going to have to find a way to figure out how we're going to handle those differences, open up. And the U.S. is really going to have to find ways, like Beijing has, to increase their exports. We're going to have to get those imported from other
places. That's good stuff. Thanks so much, Sarah.
Thank you, Rick.
Really.
So you hear that? I'm going to go to the phone line in just a minute. You give me a second. I'm going to play one more clip, but I'm going to go back to the phone line in just a second. I want to address this. Did you hear what he said? Now, because of American policy trying to break China now, China has put America in a catch-22 situation. Because of the arrogance of the empire and sanctioning the one place that produces almost everything that goes in the stores, the prices will go higher. Now, think about this on top of deficit spending that the government continues to do. Think about all of the budget cuts that they're cutting, all the things that they're cutting in the budget that are essential for people to live. Yet they continue to pad the military budget, right? And think about this. Hardly any manufacturing capacity. Think about that. Think about having a off-book debt of hundreds of trillions of dollars, having trillions in credit card debt, which is still growing, right? Trillions in student loan debt, which is still growing. Is that not right? Trillions in public debt, which is still growing. And trillions, tens of trillions, of government-acknowledged debt. And at the same time, while your dollar is being kicked to the curb by multiple nations, you pick a trade war with your financier and your manufacturer and your import or your export. How in the hell are you going to get yourself out of this, especially with you being arrogant? You put yourself in an even worse, in a more untenable situation, because now you have nobody to lean on, and the debt is continuing to explode, and sooner or later there will be a stampede out of the dollar doors for safety somewhere else. Do you see how Allah does this, how he catches America? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that Allah would do this to America. And even in her arrogance, I am, there is no challenge. I am, and there is none other. The same thought of Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. Is that not right? Look at what my hands have wrought. Still thinking that they are something that they were 20 years ago. This is what you call delusional. And this is what's bringing about the fall of America. This is what's helping to put it over. Now, I want to touch home with some. I played this on a couple shows ago, but I got to follow up this clip real quick with Jim Rogers again, because I want to bring something home to you to let you know what's really going on. I got to play. This is an old clip, but I got to play this, because I want you to hear exactly what this billionaire said about 7 years ago about the debt situation in America and her position. Okay? Now, remember that the debt, even though it was exploding and highest in the nation before, think about the debt today. 7 years on. And think about the situation worsening and how America has dug herself into a deeper pit. Not a hole, but a pit or a vortex that is sucking her in, and she can't get out. This quicksand of debt that she faces. Pay close attention to what Mr. Jim Rogers had to say about 7 years ago.
What is your take on Trump?
Well, Mitch Trump is the new president of the United States. Some of the things he said will be pretty disastrous for the U.S. Some of the things will be great if he does them.
All right. Well, since he came into office, a number of things have happened. There are protests on the ground, but looking towards the markets, the U.S. dollar seemingly has gone through, it's strengthened quite a bit. What's going on there?
Well, I own a lot of U.S. dollars, as I think we discussed last time. The reason I own them is because there's a lot of turmoil coming to the world, a lot of upset, and people, when they're scared, they look for a safe haven. Now, many people think the U.S. dollar is a safe haven for historic reasons. It's not a safe haven, Jay. America's the largest debtor nation in the history of the world, and it's getting worse every day. But that doesn't matter. People think it's a safe haven, and that's why it's going higher, because people are getting more and more worried. Many people have read what Mr. Trump says he's going to do. Trade wars, which he swears he's going to do, trade wars always lead to huge problems.
Such as?
bankruptcy, eventually full war, depression, trade wars. In the history of the world, there's never been a successful trade war. Nobody wins trade wars, including the people who think they do.
Interesting. Well, Mr. Trump has gone on record as saying that he would like to get America a better deal, and you're suggesting that this leads to a trade war. I guess it'll play out in the markets, but with that said, confidence of market players seems to be based on the prospects for new U.S. economic regime of loose fiscal and tighter monetary policy. You briefly touched upon that, but Trump has not presented any specific program yet. So therefore, what do you expect coming from him, and could we see? Is he going to do something like Reaganomics? Is this going to be trickled down, or what's your take on it?
Well, Mr. Trump, what he said so far is he's going to cut taxes, which is great. That is always good for any economy in the world. And then he says he's going to spend a lot of money on infrastructure, including building a wall to Mexico. Now, that wall will not be productive for anything, but if he does build highways and bridges and things like that, it's good for our economy. But the problem, Jay, is America's a very large debtor. Where are we going to get the money to build all this infrastructure, which we need?
No, you raise a very good point there, and I guess the people as well as the markets are waiting to hear from Trump as to how exactly he would answer that question. All right, so listen, last time we talked as well, you said that you had some Russian stocks. Now, traditionally, if the dollar's up, oil's down. With that said, it's also been mentioned that Trump might go back and rework or rewrite the Iranian oil deal, which could take a lot of oil off the market. So where do you see the price of oil?
Oil is in the process of making a bottom, a complicated bottom. In a couple of years, we'll look back and say, oh, oil made its bottom in 2015, 16, and 17, and then prices will be higher. So the oil is making a bottom. I don't know which day. It doesn't really matter. But oil will be going higher over the next few years after it makes this bottom.
And taking that one step further, if a large part of the Russian markets are dependent upon oil reserves, then you could also be said that now's a great time to invest in Russia, right?
I am investing in Russia. I'm making investments in Russia as we speak. While I'm on the phone with you, I hope the orders are being executed.
I suppose it depends on which broker you're using. I hope you're using a good one. All
I
right.
hope I'm using a good Russian broker, yes.
All right, Jim, looking forward, how do you expect the U.S. economy to develop under President Trump? What will he focus on in the first 100 days?
Well, we will know in the first 100 days. Mr. Trump has sworn that he's going to put tariffs, very high tariffs, on China and Mexico the first day. If he does that, you should be very, very worried, Jay, because the trade wars are going to break out. Recession is coming. Bankruptcy will be coming. And that sometimes has led to war in history. That's what he says he's going to do the first day. We will see.
Out of curiosity, what do you feel about some of his appointments? Specifically, he had mentioned Jamie Dimon to take over. What do you think about that?
I don't know. He said he was thinking about Jamie Dimon. I don't know if he will do it, and I don't know if Jamie Dimon will do it. Jamie certainly knows a lot about banking and about finance, so he might be useful. The problem, Jay, is that the people like Jamie, who's a wonderful guy, they're very establishment. They have to think like the establishment, or he would not have risen to his position. But the world needs people who can think differently. The world has gotten itself into serious problems with a bunch of establishment thinking. So I'm not sure that more establishment thinking will be good for America or the world.
So you heard that. Now, I thought I was clipping pressing the one for 7 years ago, but I'm glad we pressed this one. Now, in that being said, and I'm going to go to the phone lines. In that being said, he predicted that if Trump stays with his guns and does what he threatened to do, that we'll see a lot of things going on, from recession to bankruptcy into wars, right? Trump has done what he said he was going to do, sanction these nations, right? And what is going on? We see the position of military hardware all around the world. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, when you see these things, know that your salvation is not. See, these things are being done for you and I, to place you back in your proper position. Because you are that black stone. You are that black stone, that Kaaba. You are that. And what God is doing, he's using your brothers from the four different directions of the world and bringing them to help lift you up by forcing America's hand through her delusional attitude of her being a superpower. So she's making strategic mistakes here, and she's making them there. and she's causing nations to respond and counteract and counter-respond to what she's doing. And this is weakening her position and her hand and her standing in everything from militarily to politically to geopolitically. Is that not right? We're looking at the end of an era. Some of you don't want to acknowledge that, but it is what it is. Let me go to the phone line real quick. Brother Rashid, I'm going to hold you off 1 second, and I'm going to go to Brother, I think this is Brother Charles on the phone. I'm going to give the line to him for 1 second. Brother Charles, I sound to you. As-salamu alaykum.
Brother, how you doing?
I'm doing good, brother, and happy birthday.
Thank you so much. You made that gift special for me, brother. I really appreciate the gift that you said. I thank a lot for my brotherhood and you being a part of the brotherhood of my brother. I can't find enough word to express your gratitude towards me. I feel that you continue being blessed in your family and even your Blog Talk Radio get blessed just that much more. And thank you so much.
Because I love you, brother.
I love you, too.
All right. I think I got some of the callers. I'm sorry. Listen is your brother. Some of the callers are being dropped. You got to excuse me. Stay on the phone. Stay on the lines with me. So I know if you're getting dropped on your phone lines, I know people are getting kicked off their URL, some of them. But please be patient and call back in, and we'll go through this. I'm going to go to Brother Rashid right now on the line. 310, my good brother, I say unto you, as-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, brother. Can you hear me?
Yeah, brother, we hear you very well. Go ahead.
Well, I just got kicked off. I had to call back in. Brother.
Yes, sir.
this Trump character, brother. I was listening on television last night about the, you know, they got him in jail.
Brother, your phone going in and out. Your phone, hang up and call right back in. I'll bring you back on the line. Your phone is like very static on my end.
Yeah, okay.
All right, brother. I'm going to go to the phone lines again. I'll bring Brother Gerald in just a second, but I want to say this to you all. I want you all to wish Brother Charles a very blessed and happy birthday, and may Allah bless him with many more. This brother been listening to the show, like I said, if not from day one, at least the first year when I started this show, he's been listening, and we just got to give glory to God for having a strong brotherhood and for keeping the brother around and for him to be as happy as he is. And, brother, anytime you need something, like I always tell you, brother, just give me a call. I'm your brother through thick and thin. Let me go to the phone line. Brother Rashid, hold on 1 second. Let me bring in Brother Gerald. Brother Gerald, I say unto you, my good brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, as-salam, and good morning to your brother, and good morning to your guests as well. We extend from coast to coast. Happy birthday to our dear brother Charles, that you extended me a birthday accolades too. Happy birthday. And Muhammad, I concur in relation to what the brother says and in relation to you and your hard, devoted dedication and your drive and, you know, your passion for the teachings of Most Humble Muhammad. You know, we appreciate you and we love you as well, brother. And appreciate it. And in relation to the situation, the Sea of Azov, with the Ukrainian tugboat vessels and the Russian boats situation. There's an article in the Asia Times, which is really a good article by Pepe Escobar, which gives a lot of insight into what transpired. And in fact, the title is called Drama in the Kerch Strait, Teasing the Russian Bear. It says the West is complaining about Russian aggression, but the incident looks more like a cheap ploy by a desperate Ukrainian president and U.S. conservatives keen to undermine Trump's next powwow with Putin. When the Ukrainian Navy sent a tugboat and two small gunboats on Sunday to force their way through the Kerch Strait into the Sea of Azov, it knew in advance the Russian response would be swift and merciless. After all, Kiev was entering waters claimed by Russia with military vessels without clarifying their intent. The intent, though, was clear, to raise the stakes in the militarization of the Sea of Azov. Kerch Strait connects the Sea of Azov with the Black Sea. To reach Mariupol, a key city in the Sea of Azov, very close to the dangerous dividing line between Ukraine's army and the pro-Russian militias in Donbass. The Ukrainian Navy needs to go through the Kerch. Yet, since Russia retook control of Crimea by a 2014 referendum, the waters around Kerch are de facto Russian territorial waters. Kiev announced this past summer it would build a naval base in the Sea of Azov by the end of 2018. Of course, you know, America's pushing that Navy base. That's an absolute red line for Moscow. Kiev may have to trade access to Mariupol, which incidentally also trades closely with the People's Republic of Donetsk. But forget about military access. And most of all, forget about supplying a Ukrainian military fleet in the post-Berdyansk capable of sabotaging the immensely successful Russian-built Crimean bridge. Predictably, Western media has been complaining again about Russian aggression, a gift that keeps on giving, or blaming Russia for its overreaction, overlooking the fact that Ukraine's incursion was with military vessels, not fishing boats. Russian resolve was quite visible as powerful Ka-52 Alligator assault helicopters were promptly on the scene. Washington and Brussels uncritically Russian hysteria, as well as the U.N. Security Council, which instead on focusing on the facts in the Kerch Strait incident, preferring to accuse Moscow once again of annexing Crimea in 2014. The key point overlooked by the UNC is that the Kerch incident configures Kiev's flagrant violation of Article 7, 19, and 21 of the U.N. Convention of the Law of the Sea. Russian lakes. I happen to be right in the middle of deep research in Istanbul over the geopolitics of the Black Sea when the Kerch incident happened. For the moment, it's crucial to stress what top Russian analysts have been pointing out in detail. My interlocutors in Istanbul may disagree, but for all practical purposes, the Kerch Strait, the Sea of Azov, and the Black Sea, in military terms, are de facto Russian lakes. At best, the Black Sea as a whole might evolve into a Russia-Turkey condominium, assuming President Erdogan plays his cards right, everyone else as relevant militarily as a bunch of sardines. Russia is able to handle anything, naval or aerial, intruding in the Kerch Strait, the Sea of Azov, and the Black Sea in a matter ranging from seconds to just a few minutes. Every vessel moving in every corner of the Black Sea is tracked 24/7. Moscow knows it. Kiev knows it. NATO knows it. And crucially, the Pentagon knows it. Still, Kiev encouraged by Washington, insists on militarizing the Sea of Azov. Misinformed American hawks emerging from the U.S. Army War College even advocate that NATO should enter the Sea of Azov, a provocative act as far as Moscow is concerned. The Atlantic Council, which is essentially a mouthpiece of the powerful U.S. weapons industry, is also pro-militarization. Any attempt to alter the current, already wobbly status quo could lead Moscow to install a naval blockade in a flash and see the annexation of Mariupol to the People's Republic of Donetsk, to which it is industrially linked away. This would be regarded by the Kremlin as a move of last resort. Moscow essentially does not want it, yet it's wise not to provoke the bear. Cheap provocation. Rostislav Ishenko, arguably the sharpest observer of Russia-Ukraine relations, in a piece written before the Kerch incident, said, Ukraine itself recognized the right of Russia to introduce restrictions on the passage of ships and vessels through the Kerch Strait, having obeyed these rules in the summer. Yet after the U.S. deep state's massive investment, even before the protest of the Maiden in Kiev in 2014 that wrested Ukraine away from Russian influence, a possible entity cordial between the Trump administration and the Kremlin with Russian control of Crimea in a pro-Russian Donbass could only be seen as a red line for the Americans. Thus, a Kerch Strait incident designed as a treat provocation bearing all the hallmarks of a U.S. think tank ploy is automatically interpreted as Russian aggression, regardless of the facts. Indeed, any such tactics are good when it comes to derailing the Trump-Putin meeting at the G20 in Buenos Aires this coming weekend. Meanwhile, in Ukraine, chaos is norm. President Petro Poroshenko is bleeding. The hryvnia is a hopeless currency. Kiev's borrowing costs are at their highest level since a bond sale in 2018. This failed state has been under IMF, which is International Monetary Fund, reform since 2015 with no end in sight. 8%. His chances of being reelected, assuming polls are credible, are virtually zero. Little wonder he used the curse to declare martial law, effective Wednesday, lasting for 30 days and bound to be extended. Poroshenko will be able to control the media and increase his chances of rigging the election. But the U.S. will lose no sleep if they had to throw Poroshenko under the Soviet bus. Ukrainians would not die for survival. One of the captains of the Kerch incident surrendered his boat voluntarily to the Russians when Russia SU-25s and K-52 started to patrol the skies over the Kerch Strait. Ukrainian reinforcements instantly fled. Poroshenko, wallowing in despair, may still ratchet up provocation, but the best he can aim at is NATO attempting to modernize the collapsing Ukrainian Navy, an endeavor that would last years with no guarantee of success. For the moment, forget all the rhetoric and any suggestion of a NATO incursion into the Black Sea. Call it the calm before the inevitable future storm. And this is what it is that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad says, that after that war in Asia, Europe will become a dreaded spot. And this is the buildup in Asia, where it would literally be a graveyard over there between Russian, American, and Baltic states. Continue on, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you. I want to elaborate on something that you were saying. This is the economic component of this stuff that you were saying, because Pepe does a good job of writing. Pepe has a lot of connections, but something that I think most of the geostrategic thinkers miss, and I'm going to lay it out here, okay? Pay close attention to this. If you listen to all of the writings, you would, especially in alternative media, and even in Russian media, they would make you believe, and they would paint a picture that Trump wants to befriend Russia, that Trump is going against the grain, and his government is sabotaging his policies, and that Trump truly wants to befriend the Russian nation, the Russian Federation. Throw that out in the garbage can. All of that side warfare. Throw that in the garbage can. Listen to me good. The government is carrying out the policy that it was instructed to carry out. You understand? The white, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said this. He says that white man is the arch deceiver. He's the great deceiver. He said, but the American white man, right? It's the slickest and the slyest of all of them. And then he tells us, and this goes to the economic, because I'm going to break this down, because we're talking economically and geopolitically, okay? We're talking about this, so I got to break this down. But first, I got to lay the base with this, since you brought this up. So, again, he will on one hand tell you one thing, and then if Trump wanted to, then why is he constantly ratcheting up sanctions? Why is he constantly provoking Russia? Why is he constantly provoking China? Why is he constantly moving his troops and his weaponry in Syria? Why is he constantly surrounding Russia's borders? Surely, if the powers of the president is vested in him, regardless to the people behind him, he could do something that could negate their influence. No, but he continues to fill up his cabinet with people called neocons. Why? Because that is the way he thinks. You associate with people who think like you. You understand? So this is a fakey, a facade. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us this, that America and Russia are after each other under their skins. So what America is good at playing is good cop, bad cop. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe this foolishness that they continue to tell you that Trump is being undermined by his government. Trump is a part of the government and is in the government because he agrees with the policies of that government. You understand? Now, the Sea of Azov, the Kerch Strait, the Black Sea, Ukraine, NATO, Russia, and America. How is it politically tied? Prior to the U.S. imposed color revolution in Ukraine, there was an oil and gas search and study around the Crimean Peninsula. Not only is the Crimean Peninsula strategic for Russia, and is also strategic for NATO's plan to balkanize Russia and hit Russia with a massive first strike, nuclear strike. The American economy and the West gobbles up resources, and if America could snatch that massive gas and oil find, they could usurp Russia's control of European energy markets and keep the empire afloat. There was a massive finding of these things. So after these were confirmed after study, and Ukraine said that they would start drilling for it, but they had no money to do it, America instituted, this was more than just the overthrow of a government. This was to seize resources, because when the coup took place, the first thing that the U.S. Elite troops did when they went in there covertly was to seize Ukrainian gold. Why? So they can take it back to America, rebrand it, because they know Ukraine was dissolving and it had no real stability and it could not fight back or could not demand back, and they brought it back to the U.S., and that's how the U.S. is paying off some of its gold debts, okay? Same as they did with Muammar Gaddafi. But they wanted Crimea not just as a military beachhead, but they wanted the resources there. And so Russia, knowing this, moved in and seized it and reclaimed what was once Russia. The Crimea was once Russia. And it was illegally given to Ukraine because they were all part of the USSR. And Khrushchev, without going to the Supreme Rada, which is equivalent to the Congress, he transferred it because he was from Ukraine. Okay? Let's understand this thing. This has a lot of geopolitical and economic dimensions to this. And if America and NATO were allowed to seize that, not only would they have Russia trapped militarily, but economically they could break the binds of Russia's strength. They could stop the reemergence of Russia because they could cut off Russia's funding because Russia receives a hefty sum of money for its economy and its military resurgence by selling of gas and oil to Europe. And they could stop all of the pipelines that Russia is now running to Turkey, Bulgaria, Serbia, and all that. This was a geopolitical move to try to keep the empire afloat. Mr. Pepe Escobar did not catch that. But this is true. See, they don't go, they give you some stuff, but they don't go into depths on these things, okay? So Ukraine was not just a military grab for bases. It was also a grab for resources, because if they would have seized it, they would have gotten the gold. They would have gotten, and remember, the Donetsk Republic and the other republic, they have almost all of the coal reserves in Ukraine, and Ukraine has the largest coal reserves in Europe, right? And they would have gotten all the gas and all of the oil, and it would have made Ukraine the beachhead to bring down the Russian Federation, because remember, the big new Brzezinski, the one who authored that stuff, the Great Game, right, said the key to U.S. domination is Eurasia. And if we could pry Ukraine away from Russia, we could defeat Russia and balkanize it and steal its resources. As a matter of fact, Hillary Clinton said that openly. Go read this stuff. I'm telling you, this is real. So it has all kinds of economic dimensions to these things that we're not processing. You understand? But I'm glad Brother Gerald brought that article to mind, because it gave me a chance to clarify a lot of things. So this is why things are heating up over there. And America's not satisfied with that. NATO is not satisfied with that. Because at every turn, when they thought they outsmarted somebody, they wind up losing out more. Think about that. And their plans become exposed, and the more they do things, the more nations become skeptical of doing business with them. And the more the nations turn eastward and are tired of being looked down upon by these nations with no resources. Because if you look at Europe, 90% of Europe has little to no resources. And they, like I told you on one show, they have the greatest con game in the business. What they do is cut down trees, put ink on it, and assign a denomination to worthless paper. And they give that paper to you in return for your resources. And when they get teed off at you, they sanction you, nullifying the denominational worth that they gave to that paper, leaving you empty-handed while they got your resources refined and they selling it to anybody whom they want to at high exorbitant prices. That's a great con. Economic House of Cards, Part 5. The wheels are coming off. See, brothers and sisters, when you come here, you get some stuff that you don't get nowhere else. You get an in-depth understanding because I'm going to share with you exactly what's going on the inside so that we can be on equal playing fields, on an equal level, and not one looking down on the other, because we all brothers and sisters in the cause, and we all benefit from it, putting a hand down and bringing or raising a brother or sister to your same stature. It's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And with that being said, the same thing is going on in the South China Sea. They found, $5 trillion or more dollars worth of natural resources in the South China Sea. This is why America is over there talking about freedom of navigation. She not only wants to have a military beachhead against China, she wants to seize and control the discovered natural resources. Besides that, they found huge amounts of rare earths. These things, rare earths, are minerals that are used in everyday things, and also America is almost totally dependent upon China with, to put in her microchips, her processors, her computers, her missiles, her all of these warplanes, and all, they use Chinese rare earths. And if China cuts the market off, boom goes the dynamite. So they want to control that massive find that was found in between what China claims is their territory and what Japan claims is theirs. And this is why America continues to keep the beef going with those two. But they got behind closed doors a few days ago, a few weeks ago, and they're starting to iron out things. And what they're doing in the public to keep America satisfied, Japan will be rowdy against China. But behind closed doors, the trade is going up. And remember what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches, that when China jumps, when America and China gets in this war and China starts whipping America's behind, Japan and the Asian nations will join in, but they're not going to join in on America's side. See, America arming all of these nations, thinking that this is the recipe to keep China hemmed in. But Allah is allowing these things because they will add to America's strategic and political defeat in Asia and globally. You see how the economics, you see how the geopolitics and the political scene meshes. You see, now you connect the dots and you can see things a little bit more clearly. That's why I say to you, if some of you say, oh, that brother knows, let me tell you something. It's a little man 5'2" taught me. And if you think what you're learning here is heavy, I would point you to the direction with the man that gave me the wisdom. That man is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm telling you this, brothers and sisters, when you get a clear and concise understanding of that man, when you see the stuff out in the world, you can go into it and you can piece it apart, as the honorable Elijah Muhammad says, if you give me 30 days with you. I have you so wise that you have scholars wrapped around your finger, and you won't even know they're there. We can converse with anybody in any nation, be they governments or politicians or scholars or military people, because of the wisdom of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. You can't deny it, and brothers and sisters who have been listening to this show, whether you agree with me or not, you know that what I speak to you is actual facts. You know that I can prove it. You know these things. Well, I'm standing on a sure foundation, so if I can prove them, where did I get the proof from? All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, I guess they let Brother Rashid back on the line because they kept kicking his behind off. Let me go to Brother Rashid. Brother, I have to say to you, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, brother. Can you hear me?
Yeah, brother, we hear you very clear now.
Yeah, well, brother, you know, he loves kicking black people around. the brother had a good deal about Pepe Escobar, but this Donald Trump, I was talking to my wife and a brother-in-law last night. What's going on is to break the empire's, the people's belief in this system. This guy is going to want to throw everybody in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that when he had a enemies list?
Yeah.
He had Clinton, he had Obama, he had Hillary Clinton, he had his former, the guys that's investigating. Everybody is in jail, and he said one of the the traitor trials are going to. Man, this cat is a he's a great guy for us, brother. He's going to bring America down. You understand? And then they had a bunch of political people in there talking about that they what he was doing. Well, he's not a politician. He's not a politician. You see?
Mm-hmm.
He's not a lawyer. He's not a lawyer, you see?
Yes, sir.
He don't know, like the guy saying, he don't know how the American system works. He's not a person of skilled in the art of government. That's what the politics is. It's the science of government. He don't know nothing about that stuff. Allah brought them somebody who is a guy that's just out of the blue, really a failed businessman. And he's trying to make America like what the message is, a dictatorship. If you do not agree with me, throw you in jail. Anybody that say a word, oh, lock him up. Oh, the news is he is a great guy for what like the brothers told me at the message, said at the end of time it'd be this crazy president doing a lot of crazy things. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm gonna sanction you. I'm gonna put war on you. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do this. And then everything he does turns to crap.
Yep.
Every last thing he does is it's there in the scriptures. What did little Pharaoh do? Everything at the end he tried turn against him. And ain't that what happened to Donald Trump? Pharaoh
mm-hmm.
just means king. That's all it means. It don't mean that we don't actually got to go and get somebody. His name got to be Pharaoh. No, it just means king. And then for the king, America, all of America are devils. So just you got one devil, a fat, short devil, a tall devil, a leafy devil, and all of them devils. Like the nigga you
mm-hmm.
will vote for, St. Lucifer, Beelzebub, or the devil. Well, hell, all of them devils. Right?
Mm.
So what you have is you have this man in here that's doing a lot of crazy things that ultimately will lead to the removal of the white American power system. And then once
mm-hmm.
his power is gone, then what the Dominion said, the Dominion said the people of the Latin American country are going to come up here and take everything he got. They already got a bunch of them at the border ready to come take a bunch of them. It is a beautiful day for the black man of America who understands. Our future's so bright, you got to wash shade.
Yes, sir, brother. Anything you may want to add before we start to close off the show?
No, brother, just go ahead on, brother. It's Elijah Muhammad had to be somebody, brother, because he got the can you imagine that, the brother, the dumbest of the dumb, conspersed with stuff, like you said, scholars and stuff, scientists can't see. Then he had
mm-hmm.
to be somebody, brother. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Elijah Muhammad show was something.
Well, I like him alone, and I definitely bear witness that Elijah Muhammad is something else, because he took me from an obscure beginning and gave me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and to be able to stand confidently and boldly before the entire world and defend what he taught, and to be able to pull it out of thin air. Listen, these shows are not pre-recorded. These shows, I don't screen calls. I'm going to give you the truth, and that a word to disprove it. And then I'm ready to defend this truth because I know it's the truth. See, people call it arrogance. That's because they don't have confidence in the word. If you have confidence in truth, if you have the truth, you should have confidence in the truth. You should have more confidence in the truth than the liars have the confidence in the lies that they're telling. Is that not right? If you don't, then you're weak and you're inept and impotent. So you've got to be able to stand on that square. I don't care the pressure. I don't care how many don't like you. You've got to be able to give the people the truth regardless to whether they want to swallow it. You've got to give it to them. Even if it alienates you. Saladin used to tell me, he said, brother, if you're going to do this, you got to remember that you got to be willing to stand on your own, brother, because If people are coming, they'll go. People will pat you on the back. People will betray you. All this stuff. But he said, but if you stay strong in the truth, it's going to prevail. And even if you by yourself, you're not by yourself because the Lord and his messenger are always with you. And so you've already won in that. And I believe that. My brother, I wish that brother was here right now. I wish y'all could have talked to that brother like I talk to that brother all the time. You know, because I'm sharing this. When you hear me, you're hearing that brother. This is how he used to talk to me. This is how he used to ram this stuff down and then make me go and prove what he's saying. The brother said, I used to always tell you, brother. He said, because I know you'll walk away from the table, and a week later you'll come back with a tablet full of stuff to prove what you're saying because you done did research on it. That's what I'm saying. Research what I'm saying to you. If you don't believe that America's in trouble, let me just click something before we go off there. This economic collapse blog, something they put up there a few days ago. The stock market crash. The Dow has fallen nearly 2,500 points, and FANG stocks have lost $1 trillion in value. Now, that's just sin. $1 trillion in value. Now, look at this. General Motors and General Electric were both victimized by the same Ponzi scheme, and they are both telling us the U.S. economy is in huge trouble. And now we see GM cutting jobs. Remember, in a theology of time, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad specifically mentioned Ford and GM and how they would go belly up. This is what the Honorable Elijah, go read the theology of time and listen to it. He told you these things of what to expect. He said, you go in there thinking you got a good job. They won't be able to provide this for you for long. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said to you. Because they're not going to be able to have no job. And now look what happened. You remember Ford filed bankruptcy? You remember GM filed bankruptcy? You remember they filed for restructuring to be protected from creditors? Remember all that stuff? Or are you just playing dumb? But this is what we're seeing going on. If you don't believe this, look again. This is another one. Now even Paul Krugman of the New York Times is admitting that the next crisis will likely be worse than 2008. Mr. Paul Krugman, that everything is all right. Even he sees the storm approaching. Even he knows that the time for America is over, and she's going to face one hell of a tribulation that's coming upon her. And let's go one more since it's real. Let's even go up to the next one. Much worse than expected in bold letters. Experts shocked as new home sales plunge by 8.9%, and that's government figures. So you know it's higher than that. So we saw a few weeks ago, and I got clips I can play it for you, but the time is ending, and I was going to play it for you, about the explosion of homelessness across America, unemployment, hunger. How's it exploding? Did you see the article on the Hines 1555 blog the other day when we were talking about how farmers in the Midwest are going bankrupt? Remember Elijah Muhammad said that hunger is coming. It ain't just going to be due to drought or flood. They can't pay their bills anymore. They can't buy the necessary things to produce the food, to maintain their way of living or their farms. And when this takes place, as it is already in process, the prices go higher in an already higher market, meaning hyperinflation. The value of the currency goes down, which is hyperinflation, and the economy stalls and shuts off, which is economic collapse. Are we not seeing the signs of all those things? Or am I just making this stuff up when I'm reading articles right out the white man's own newspaper? Huh? Brothers and sisters, all coming off. He knows that his time is limited. Famine is approaching. The nations are uniting against us. The debt is exploding. The homeless is exploding. Hunger is everywhere. Unemployment is exploding. You got to work 2, 3, 4 jobs now to buy a turkey sandwich, let alone pay bills. Because after Uncle Sam takes out all his taxes that he didn't work for, and you find yourself in a hole, barely getting by. You're taking a dollar here that's supposed to be over here. You're not paying your bills. You're paying on your bills. That's not how to live. That's barely surviving. But if you come to Muhammad, I'm telling you, we all go through these things. You'll be all right.
in the economic collapse, in the downturn of America, in the fall of America, in the collapse of the Western world, you will be all right. Remember, this is your day. God didn't come here to put sorrow in your heart. He came here to put gladness in your mouth and in your tongue. He came here to raise you up and to show you that even though America says that I am and there is none other, and even though America may look as though she stands tall, she less than a midget in his eyesight, and he's bringing her to weakness. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind first here in America, then the billions around the world, know that your brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life. I can't love you to death. I love you to life. That's why I'm giving you these life-giving teachings. But my love for you pales in comparison to the love that I have and that my God has for you. He has come in the person of one Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all holy praises are due forever, and my love pales in comparison to that Lamb of God who sacrificed his very life for the redemption of 68 million of our kind in America. That is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Until we next meet again, stay strong, stay true, but above all things, black man and black woman, stay righteous. I love you all. It's
for information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the mood I'm in. Day to day, the roads we